Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you at purdyinsurance.com.
Yeah, hopefully they insured those cars you went after in the golf course last week.
I did not hit a single car, cart, or person. The only thing that I did hit was maybe a tree.
You hit two into the street.
No, not this past year I didn't. I have done that in the past.
Excuse me. On the second hole, you didn't hit back-to-back shots into the street?
No, it was not in the street. It was over the street and in the neighbor's yard. It was not in the street. All right? Let's be specific about this.
Great. A technicality.
I'm just clarifying, all right? Just clarifying.
Hey, it's great to be with everybody. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We had a blast, an absolute blast on Friday, because I made everyone commissioner for a day. And calls and calls and calls about what you would do about Tom Brady. And we had a wild ride on Friday with some great suggestions. From have the commissioner spin the wheel every Monday to see if he plays or not. That way Belichick can't plan and prepare. To cutting all the ticket prices in the stadium at Foxborough in half at Gillette Stadium. That way it would hit Robert Kraft in the wallet to the tune of $54.6 million, which is what we figured out. Now, I had it figured wrong. I had it 27-3. Then John called at the end of the show and said, Steve, your numbers aren't quite right. And John was absolutely right. My numbers weren't right. I took half and half, and I should have taken a full season ticket times half the number of tickets in the stadium. And came out to 54.6. So we had lots of suggestions as to what to do. And it seems more and more evident he's going to be suspended in some way. Now, how many games he gets suspended, we'll see. But it appears that that is the fear about him. Now, is cheating cheating? Yes.
He cheated. There's no question. Well, all right, let me rephrase that. I don't want to say he cheated because all indications are that he's aware of it. Let's put it that way. Did the Patriots cheat as a team? Yes, they broke the rules regarding the inflation of footballs.
Okay. But you know what? This is a league. I mean, let's okay, we've already established, okay, what's going on here. But this is a league that has seen exponential growth in popularity because of what? Passing the football. That's one of the reasons why the competition committee let them do what they're doing now with roughing up the footballs and getting them to specification as to how the quarterback likes it. And you keep, you know, and for example, Aaron Rodgers likes to have it to the max. Maybe even overinflating it, which, by the way, on a hot day, the ball is going to expand, correct?
I would think so. I'm not a huge physicist.
You'd have that possibility. You know, you say, yeah, they're in Green Bay. Yeah, it gets hot in Wisconsin, too, in September and early October. He likes to have it to the max. These are subtle differences you're talking about here. If the ball was that max, was that tremendously deflated, then I ask you this question. The referees handled the Colts football and they handled the Patriots footballs. Okay? Why didn't they notice a difference? Hey, three of them handle it on every play. Explain to me, and look, I could care less about the Patriots. I know people say, oh, you know, you grew up in New England and so forth. I've never been a Patriots fan. Could care. To me, they're the Kansas City Chiefs, point of view. That's the first time in 19 years we had them disappear like that. Really, Walt? Really? Did you really? Part that, to me, also demands scrutiny. This is what I think will happen. It's not what I would do, but this is what I think will happen. Brady will be suspended. Then upon appeal, might get down to two. Either way, Steeler fans are happy they don't have to face him in the opener.
Either way, it's a win.
Either way, it's, you know, wow. You got to deal with Jimmy Garoppolo. And against that secondary, Garoppolo will still throw for 400. And the...
I heard that.
The pay... I meant for you to hear it.
I know.
And the organization, I think, will then be fined the maximum, which is $500,000. I also think the organization will be docked a draft pick, maybe a third. That's what I think. I'm trying to think for the commissioner, but that's what I think he'll do.
I think the commissioner, and you're going to laugh at this, but I think the commissioner needs to look at other... Exactly. See, you're already starting.
It's a preemptive thing.
The commissioner needs to look at how other sports handle infractions of the rules like this. And the only one I could come up with that has been recent was earlier in April. Actually, it was late March. NASCAR had this on Ryan Newman's team. They routinely pull tires and do a tire inspection. His team was one of four cars that had the tires taken after the March 22nd race in California. And they were found to have violating a rule that says bars or modifications to the wheel, tire, including the valve stem hardware that's used to release pressure. If you violate that, that's going to be a fine and a suspension. All right, now hear me out. Luke Lambert was fined, he's the crew chief, $125,000 and suspended for the next six races.
Mm-hmm.
That also includes the upcoming All-Star race here next week. And he's placed on probation through the rest of the year.
Yeah.
The tire technician, engineer, also suspended.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody that was involved in this either has a fine or suspension. So use that as your guideline. I mean, this happens in NASCAR every stinking race. Somebody's tweaking a rule or tweaking a wing, and it doesn't pass inspection, and somebody gets fined and or suspended. This seems to be an easy solution to me. Fine, suspend, move on.
Well, as I said, they're going to fine Brady, suspend Brady. They're going to fine the organization. And they're also going to dock him a draft choice.
But what I'm saying is, should they fine and or suspend members of the team as far as the equipment people? I mean, that's no different than NASCAR is doing here.
I don't think they're going to have jobs.
Well, that may be the case. But, I mean, you're talking about a tire technician and an engineer that are also suspended. I consider them the same type of level as the equipment manager of a football team.
As much as I'm just telling you what I think he's going to do. Because the Patriots are a multiple offender in his eyes, because of Spygate, I think he's going to dock them the maximum fine, which is $500,000. And I think he's going to dock them a draft choice. Because I think that's in part because they're a multiple offender in his eyes. As for Brady, I think the suspension is going to be between anywhere between 4 and 8 games. Now, I wouldn't suspend him. I'd fine him and just move on. Because, and the part I would fine him on would be the part that's absolute in the report. The absolute in the report is that he didn't cooperate fully. But I still expect him to go 4 to 8 games. Now, what's the criticism going to be if he suspends him between 4 and 8 games?
Well, what's the hard evidence?
I mean, basically, the criticism is going to be if you suspended him for 4 to 8 games, somewhere in that range. Let's even pick 4 games. Let's go to the bottom end. So, in other words, it's 4 games for that, but Ray Rice got 2.
Well, and you had video evidence of that. You don't have any evidence here that Tom Brady was a part of this. Now, is it likely, as the papers have stated, as the report stated? Yeah. But I am not a Tom Brady or a Patriots sympathizer by any means. I just find it really difficult to suspend and or fine somebody that you don't have any hard evidence. It's all circumstantial. Now, I realize this isn't a court of law. I realize that. Now, do I think he knew about it? Yeah, I think he knew about it. But based on that report, it's going to be hard. It would be hard to determine that beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. Now, again, it's not a court of law. That's the difference.
Now, what would I do? What I would do would be this. The two Patriots employees, if they are still employees of the club, would be suspended for a full year. Brady would be fined. The organization would be fined. I'd dock him a draft choice. I would also suspend Walt Anderson and his crew for 1 game. You're like, what? Suspend the Reverend? Yeah. The bottom line is, you weren't doing your job.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but the balls disappeared from the officials. So, in other words, when they were supposed to have the footballs,
well, they than they normally are. They weren't. You know, the whole thing took 100 seconds, from what I understand. And you also had to change the procedure. And the procedure is going to have to be that, okay, I submit the footballs, we have them checked, and the officials bring the footballs back out onto the field, not the equipment people.
I guess my question is, for the officials, once you've done the inspection, why were the balls not in the officials' room or whatever?
Well, it's always been standard procedure that, you know, they give them to the equipment people, then bring them back out, and they warm up.
I wonder if that's going to change.
Well, as I said, I think the officials are going to bring the footballs out to the field.
Yeah, I always thought that's what happened.
Right? No. The equipment people bring them out.
I mean, but you have to admit, like, it is strange if you have a rule saying
Bill Polian was on ESPN last week. He was on the rules committee that in 2006 considered this and then adopted it. He says, like any rule that comes in, said, we always have this, hey, let's sleep on it kind of thing and see how we feel about it in the morning. He said it came in, it made sense to us, according to him, slept on it, came in, everybody goes, yeah, okay, this makes sense. He said, this is a circumstance we never foresaw.
That's probably
never.
True.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, LeBron James, David Blatt draws up a play, and he goes, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. You know, sometimes you can overcoach. I have the single most talented player on the planet. I think I'll have him take the last shot. Do you have to be a genius or be proclaimed a genius to make that move? No. Yet he drew up a play where LeBron, with 1 second to go, is supposed to throw the ball in. Huh? I know he's your best passer, but no. And LeBron said no. He scratched out the play. This is a guy that can't do anything right in some circles. For example, there have been times where on big shots, he's passed it. And people have criticized him for that. Hey, you don't have enough to take the other shot yourself, do you? I mean, no matter what he does, he goes to Miami, gets criticized, he goes, whatever. He's going to get criticized for this. Oh, he overruled the coach. Well, the coach was wrong. I've got the best player. What am I a big believer in, Kevin? What trumps most things in sports?
Talent.
Stunning. He's the most talented player in the league. Let him have the ball. He misses. At least I go down with my most talented. And by the way, they would have gone to overtime if he'd missed the shot. This was a no-risk play for the Cavaliers.
And they got a free timeout to set it up.
Mm-hmm. They did. But, you know, even coaches get caught up in the moment. But you say to yourself, okay, wait a minute. I've got LeBron James. So in other words, I'm going to run a play where he throws the ball in and he's a decoy. Excuse me. I think Jimmy Chitwood told everyone what you're supposed to do on that play. Give me the ball, coach. I'll make it. Why, Jimmy? Yes, you will.
I thought you were going to say run Gene the picket fence.
Gene Hackman starring in the role of David Blatt.
Don't get caught watching the paint dry. Oh, wait, that was a different setup.
Yeah, it's a different play you're thinking of. That's all right.
Wow.
I mean, I know you're all emotional right now because of the 0.7 NASCAR, IndyCar got.
That's right, 0.7 IndyCar. That's exciting. Hey, but the good news is it's almost time for qualifying in Indy.
It's almost time for the news at the bottom of the hour, too.
Yeah, we could probably do that, I guess.
Considering we're contraction. Hey, Boston just appointed the president of the Celtics, the owner of the Celtics, to help lead their committee and turn things around. They'll vote 65-35. No. And Kevin's dream of seeing one in his own backyard dies.
I still hold hope. It's waning, but I'm holding out.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Down to the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Later in the week, Dick Girardi will join us to talk about the Preakness at Pimlico. I believe Dick is going to join us on Friday. Let's take a look at the state of the Philadelphia Phillies and where they are right now. And, of course, the Phillies at this particular stage in last place at 11-21. Already 9.5 off the pace and have lost their last two. They're even 3.5 out of fourth right now behind the Braves. Leader in home runs is Ryan Howard with 6. Howard also leads the team with 15 runs knocked in. Freddie Galvis is the team leader at .340 in batting average. But offensively, they've only scored 91 runs so far this year. They're dead last in the majors. Their slugging percentage is .332, dead last in the majors. Their batting average is .228, which is 28th in the majors. But here's the one that's even bigger to me. When you're fighting to get runs, they have a .282 on base percentage, which is dead last in the major leagues. .282. They just don't get guys on base. There's nobody to drive in. The pitching, their best ranking in pitching is what you would expect. Quality starts. They're right in the middle of the pack. They're 14th in the majors in quality starts. They have 15 of them so far. ERA, 4.35. That's 23rd in the majors. Mention how the Phillies are batting .228 as a team. Opposing hitters are batting .272 against Phillies pitching, which is 27th in baseball, and the whip is 29th at 1.51. There just is not anything yet with this team to hang your hat on. And that is the state of the Philadelphia Phillies through May 11th. It's off to, I think, an even worse start than most people really. I mean, they lose to the Pirates tonight. They'll be playing 3:33 ball. You're playing 3:33 ball. You know what you're on a pace to do? You're on a pace to win 54 games. That's if they lose tonight. They're on a pace to win 54 games, which would be on a pace to lose 108. On base percentage at .282. Now, if you're batting .282, you're having a good year. I think you're having, I'd say, on a scale of 1 to 10, you're having a 7 out of 10 year. How about that? If you're batting .282. But when you're on base percentage is .282, that's a crusher. And that's where the Phillies are right now. And Kevin, I honestly don't know where the answers are.
Three seasons down the road.
I don't know where the answers are. It's not as if we're sitting here and we're going to have Gabe Sinacopi on next week from the Williamsport Crosscutter. It's always great to talk to our old friend Gabe. But starting there and then working their way through and eventually to Reading and then finally down to Lehigh Valley, you don't see this core group coming up together that makes you say, all right, help is on the way. There are a couple guys that get you excited. Crawford gets you excited.
Actually, he does.
But that's one guy.
And he's also probably a couple of years away, too.
Exactly. So that's where they are. I mean, Bartolo Colon has 6 wins. The Phillies as a team have 11. Playing 344 baseball right now.
What are they on pace for the season now?
If they lose tonight, if they lose tonight to Gerrit Cole and the Pirates, they'll fall to 11-22. Which means they're playing 333 baseball. So if they lose tonight, they would then be on a pace to win 54 games on the season, lose 108.
I said 56.
Even worse than you thought.
Yeah. No, that's what I was asking, because if the last time I checked, they were on pace to get right around what I had said when the year started, that if they had 56 wins, I'd consider it a success.
Man, you're so far, you are spot on. You're spot on so far. And they're just, I mean, this lineup is, there's no power in the outfield, none. And the guys that can supply it are all past their prime.
And what was it? I think it was it either early last week or the week before, late in the week, Chase Utley was actually benched just to try and get him out of the slump that he's in. I mean, this isn't a slump now. This is beyond slump now.
He's batting 116 in 28 games that he's played in. He's batting 185 at-bats. 11.
I was
now,
looking...
Think of this. Now,
go ahead.
Now, think of this. Say he doubled his hits to 22. He'd still only be batting 232. How bad's that?
Every team gets represented in the All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Who represents the Phillies? Maybe it'd be Hamels.
Freddie Galvis is hitting 340, you know.
Well, I'm not saying he's not worthy of it, but it's not something, I don't think it's a player that's going to be elected by the fans. I think it's going to have to be...
No. That's not going to happen. It'll be a single player. It could be Cole Hamels.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're voting and you're not necessarily a Phillies fan, but you're a baseball fan, you might put Galvis in there, but it's a tough vote. It's a tough vote to put any Philly in there right now.
Kevin, nobody in their right mind is voting for any Phillies to be in the All-Star game.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Any team that's 11-21 doesn't get consideration for anybody. I mean, zero. I'm saying who might get appointed by the manager, a player. Well, a player, when you vote for them, I mean, a player, when you're appointed, the manager might pick a Cole Hamels, or they might, you know, opting for a Freddie Galvis would not be improbable. 340 batting average, on-base percentage, not bad at 381. Slugging percentage is over 400. But you have a dramatic drop-off. You go from your top hitter at 340, and your number two hitter in the lineup is Herrera at 268. That's a 72-point drop from your number one hitter on your team to your number two hitter. Remember, Cody Ashe was playing great, hitting great. Deep, dark slump, 235. Chuch Ruiz, 234. Ryan Howard, 400. No reaction?
None.
He's 100.
I don't think there's anybody even on the Phillies AAA squad that's near 400, is there? Might be one at 380. Okay.
Darren Ruff, 191. Jeff Francoeur, your savior in the first week of the season. You couldn't brag enough about him. People always remember who they are in the end. Francoeur, 219.
Still almost Utley leading the team.
What?
It was a joke.
Yes, your team is.
Well, and right now, they're taking on a Pirates team that is just, I mean, they've won the last two from St. Louis, who's playing really, really well. But what in the world? That's a team that was supposed to be, you know, giving St. Louis a run.
Yeah. Their problem is they can't hit either. By the way, Grady Sizemore, whom you criticized me for when I said whoop-de-doo, great signing, 226.
Yeah, but again, on this team, that's pretty good. So you got to look at it from the right perspective. You're looking at it from a normal team. That's not really that good. In this case, that's not bad. I've set my standards down a little bit this year, Steve. I've set my standards down.
It appears that the bar is very low.
Very low.
But what bothers me about the Phillies is I don't see a core group of guys coming through the organization where you say to yourself, you know what, I see our future lineup coming into view here between Redding and Lehigh Valley. I don't see it. That's the part that I find bothersome. Take the Cubs, for example. Let's take the Cubs. Now, I know they've been down and out. The Phillies' more recent history is so exponentially better than the Cubs. But now you kind of see the Cubs for the first time in a while with a core group that they can build around. I don't see that with the Phillies. Pirates come in. They're just a shade under 500 at 15-16. They got Garrett Cole tonight. Cole has electric stuff. Electric stuff. Starling Marte leads the Pirates at home runs with 7. RBIs with 21. But here's the problem. Neil Walker's hitting .287. That leads the team. Pirates, 117 runs scored, 26th. That's still 26 more runs scored than the Phillies have, but still 117, they're 26th. Slugging percentage is 26th, 357. Their batting average is 22nd at 237. But remember 2 years ago? Check it. 3 years ago on the show, when I was talking about why I didn't think the Pirates would succeed, and I said that, again, I went back to on-base percentage. The Pirates in 13 and 14 took their on-base percentage and got it into the middle part of the rankings between like 13 and 16 after being in the bottom five for a long time. Well, guess where they are today? Back in the bottom five at 293, 27th. Offensively, they are struggling because they don't get guys on base. They are not a patient hitting club. Because when you look at their pitching, oh, my goodness, their pitching is fabulous. It really is. The Pirates are 9th in baseball and quality starts with 18. They are 3rd overall in baseball in team ERA, 3.12, 3rd. Batting average against them is in the middle of the pack at 13th, at 246. WHIP is 1.25, which is 11th. Their pitching has been really good. In fact, the only pitcher out that they've thrown out there so far that you sit back and say, I'm not so sure, is Melanson, and he picked up the save the other night.
Is it true that the dad that had the one-hand grab with the baby strapped on him, actually they found him and asked him, hey, can you hit as well? Sometimes you find players in the stands if you have to.
Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin, what are you driving from Sunbury Motors this week?
Well, this week we're featuring the 2014 Kia Sorento Limited Turbo, a 2.0 turbo, four-cylinder, but it actually has the power of a six. And this 2014 is priced to move, too, with discounts near $6,000 right now. It has never been titled, so you could be the first owner with leather interior, heated and cooled driver's seat, as well as heated seats on the passenger side and in the back seat, which is very unusual. Once in a while, you'll find that. Panoramic sunroof as well, and the big 8-inch screen that also includes navigation and HD radio with the Infinity sound system. So look for gas mileage around 25 and a price that is discounted almost $6,000 at Sunbury Motors Hyundai, routes 11 and 15 in, a Hyundai dealership, North 4th Street in Sunbury. 11 and 15 is where you find the Kia dealership.
You're obsessed with the heated seat.
Well, up until, you know, the last few weeks, yeah.
I mean, do these seats cool off?
Well, that's why the driver's seat in this one actually is a cooled seat as well, has air-conditioned seat as well.
I'm asking you. I mean, do they cool off?
The seat?
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
And can you hit a button like to make them like on a hot day, you get in there cool?
Yeah, this one has an air conditioned seat as well as heated, depending on the situation.
I love it. Don't you hate getting in a car when the seat feels blistering hot?
Yeah, no question about it.
But you have to admit, you're a little obsessed with your seat.
I am. Well, I mean, let's face it. When you're in a vehicle for a long period of time, that's got to be the most comfortable part of it. You have to be feeling good about it.
That's at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. And don't forget about the Kia dealership on Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Yeah, I have the vehicle linked, and you can see a photograph and everything on my Facebook page and at Kevin Herr on Twitter.
There you go. Well done. Lot to talk about. We've talked about Tom Brady. Kevin, a little extreme. I didn't really think the word guillotine would come up, but
I just can't spell it.
LeBron James, I think we'll run this play. I think it's better. Oh, but he went against his coach. Oh, please.
I think it's funnier that they were out of timeouts. They got a chance to draw this up because the officials wanted to see how much time should be left on the clock. And it took them almost 90 seconds to find that out?
But you know what? I've talked about this before, Kev. And by the way, Rashid Suleiman kicked off the Duke team. Get ready to see him in the Big Ten. He's transferring to Maryland. I don't like the fact that you're allowed to huddle during an official's timeout. If they're checking the time and you're out of timeouts, and you're out of timeouts, you should not be allowed to huddle. I think it's a cheap timeout. Look, you're allowed X amount of timeouts to begin with. Also, you know how I feel about challenges. Basketball should have a challenge, and last night in the NHL, we saw hockey should have a challenge, too. Rangers were put shorthanded on a puck that went off the glass. If they challenged it, replay would have shown the officials were wrong, and there should have been no power play. Now, it didn't affect the outcome of the game, but...